We don't have a cure or a clear treatment for COVID-19, but yesterday in an Oval Office update, we heard some promising news from Dr. Anthony Fauci, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease director.
The data shows that remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant, positive effect in diminishing the time to recovery. This is really quite important.
Dr. Fauci acknowledged that the study into remdesivir hasn't yet reached statistical significance and more analysis does need to be done.
The reason why we're making the announcement now, whenever you have clear-cut evidence that a drug works, you have an ethical obligation to immediately let the people who are in the placebo group know so that they could have access. And all of the other trials that are taking place now have a new standard of care.
And there are hundreds of these other trials and studies underway worldwide. So we thought we'd like to get an overview of that research, both locally and globally. Joining to help us is Susan Slaugenhaupt. She's the scientific director of the Massachusetts General Research Institute and a professor of neurology at Harvard Medical School. Susan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
So let's start with this news. I'm glad to have you. Let's start with this news on remdesivir. How promising is what Dr. Fauci is outlining?
I think it's very promising. I was excited to hear the news. I think it gives us a place where we haven't been before, and that is a starting point with, you know, now that scientists understand that there is a drug that can block this virus, it gives us a place to look for better drugs, right? To optimize this particular drug and to, you know, continue to look for combination therapies that might be effective as we work to combat this virus.
So we are all hungry for this good news, hungry for hope that there's more help coming. But it does seem like we're getting these articles all the time, every day. Preliminary study results. This one claims this thing, this one another, but they're not peer reviewed. They're not finalized. Is there a danger in releasing results too soon and spreading confusion, especially given how hungry we are for them?
Yes. There definitely is a danger. And, you know, it's easy to tell the public to be a smart consumer of science. It's easy to say that, but it's difficult to do. It's difficult even for scientists to do that, to smartly consume science. The way the world works today, we see the results of new studies coming out. What seems like every minute, there's new data online, the results of studies. And we just have to remember, you know, how science is done and why it's so important to do thorough trials, to do careful research such that we get the right answer in the end, which is what we're all after.
And I do want to ask, you know, we heard Dr. Fauci at the top and he did say that there's more to be done, but then he also referred to a new standard of care. So how can both of those things be true at the same time?
Well, I think it's as he said, when you do a trial and you find, you know, without, you know, you find that the treatment is working for some patients. And he said, we have an ethical obligation in order to, you know, unmask basically the trial and give patients who are getting placebo the drug, which means that, you know, that we have to give them this, the opportunity to have the drug. And so when I think it means a new standard of care, it will mean that when patients go to the hospital or need treatment for COVID-19, that this will be part of the treatment plan, if appropriate.
So let's dig into what's going on. Can you tell us about what research is being done at MGH? And is all the research focus in this area now?
You know, it's interesting. We have, you know, the research institute at Mass General is at the largest at any academic medical center. And we have research going on in all different areas. And it has been remarkable to watch people change what they're doing and rethink and innovate around the response to COVID-19. The Mass General Brigham has set up the Center for COVID Innovation, and there are four pillars under this center, one on devices, one on diagnostics, one on therapeutics, and one on data analytics. And if you think about that, what's been really interesting is if you think about just devices, some of the things you hear about in the news, okay, we need to do testing on everybody, but maybe we don't have enough nasal swabs in order to do that. And so we have people who are like, I have an idea. Let's invent a different type of nasal swab or a different type of way to decontaminate our personal protective equipment. And so people with all different talents and who work in all different areas of science have come together around these problems. And around each of these pillars, there have been calls where literally hundreds of people have joined to share their ideas and thoughts. And it's really been remarkable. The other thing I want to mention is just the amount of sharing of information and data that's gone on. So to watch people from across the institution and across the world really come together and share information and collaboration in such, it's so fast, has been unlike anything I've ever seen in my career.
That's really encouraging. I did notice in those four pillars, and I may just not be understanding, but I didn't hear anything that said prevention, you know, vaccination, or what we do to keep people from getting the coronavirus in the first place.
Absolutely. I think that would fall. It's a piece of the therapeutics. If you think about the way that there's a lot going on at the Ragon Institute, which is part of Mass General, our scientists are there working on developing vaccinations. And the other big thing, go ahead, sorry.
No, please finish your thought.
So the other big thing, I think, in terms of prevention is really understanding, you know, all of the epidemiology and the way this virus spreads, and what, as we return to our new normal, what type of things are we going to have to pay attention to so that we really understand how to keep ourselves safe as we go back out into the world?
Susan, what, you know, is there specific work, specific research that stands out to you right now as promising, maybe here in Boston or really anywhere around the world?
Yes, I think that, you know, there's some very interesting, so many interesting studies going on. What really strikes me that we really don't understand is why some people get so sick and why others don't. And so is that genetics? Is there underlying genetics? And I'm talking about some people have no underlying underlying symptoms, but they get so, so sick. And so there's some genetic studies, a worldwide consortium that's being led by scientists at Mass General and the Broad Institute, but has really pulled together people from all over the world to begin to look at that. And then, you know, understanding the virus itself. How long does it live? How is it transmitted? You know, and what causes this acute reaction in the lungs to this virus? So I think, you know, studies into the absolute activity of this virus are super important. And then,
so you know,
Other thing I wanted to comment on is about the people. So one of the things that's been really remarkable, I like to think of clinical research and research that we do at Mass General as a team sport, meaning, and I like to think of the patients not as research subjects, but as research partners. And people have been really willing to enroll in trials and to help us with our studies, because without the patients, we could do nothing that we need to do. And that's a very important concept.
You know, in popular conversation, we've heard about some specific areas of research or thought, like malaria drugs, plasma, UV light, disinfectants. Mm-hmm. Is there traction in research, real traction in research in any of those areas? Because they've been, you know, sort of batted around a lot.
Right. I think that there, you know, certainly in the antiviral drugs, like repurposing antiviral drugs and doing studies to try to determine if drugs that existing drugs might have some effect, or if they have a very minor effect, can we optimize them? Can we make them better? I'd say around light and UV light and other types of light, there is a lot of work that goes on in those areas in terms of using light to kill viruses and kill bacteria, et cetera. We have the Wellman Center for Photomedicine at Mass General does a lot of work in this regard. So I would say nothing is off the table when we think about new ideas. I think scientists are some of the most creative and innovative people I know. And so I've watched many people who are doing work on one thing try to think about how they can apply it to COVID-19 with some really remarkable results.
I want to kind of stay on that general theme. You know, I mentioned that we both know that there's a lot of research being done, but also sometimes the message of the research can get muddled. You know, everybody knows about the questions President Trump asked last week about UV light disinfectants. Right. And it does raise a question about how researchers and members of the media like us make sure that the messaging is clear and that people understand what we do and don't know and what is and is not safe.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing you bring up, because one of the things that we focus on in my office in the Research Institute is thinking about how to best communicate about science. Science is sometimes a difficult thing when it comes to communication. Scientists use a lot of jargon. We use a lot of words that people don't recognize. And sometimes when we're trying to explain the work that we do, it gets lost in translation. And so we've done a lot of things around trying to teach our scientists to be better communicators. How do you talk about the science that you're doing in lay terms so that people really understand its importance? It's very, very critical, especially in times like this, when everyone is watching the evening news for their daily dose of science, which is great, but unless it's getting, unless it's told in a way that people can truly understand what it means, it's not going to help us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's such a struggle. At the one hand, I'm excited to hear you say something like nothing's really off the table. And on the other hand, I wonder, is that where we get the president muses about disinfectants and then we find out that there are people who are actually ingesting them thinking that maybe that's what we're talking
you're absolutely
about.
Right.
I actually think this is really hard.
Yeah, it is really, really hard because a lot of people misinterpret. I mean, just I'll think about one thing. Now we have a mask policy out there. And how many people in the last few days have you seen walking around with a mask below their nose?
Yeah.
I was in the grocery store the other day and I saw four people with masks below their nose, which means that we haven't even done a good job of communicating around the very fundamentals of why people are wearing a mask. And so, and I think these other things, when we think about how drugs work and, you know, how we might kill the virus and other types of research, it's crucially important that we think long and hard about how to communicate it to the public so that people understand.
In our last half a minute or so, you know, what piece of research is most exciting to you or is giving you the biggest hope right now?
Well, I do think that these trials that are started, I mean, over the last, I could tell you at Mass General Brigham, we have 188 COVID-related studies that are starting, that are ongoing right now. And 6 weeks ago, there weren't any. And so the speed with which these things are getting up and running, and I think that, you know, I saw something the other day where someone said physician scientists have never been so important. And I completely agree with that. Having people who are taking care of these patients, but then also going to their labs and thinking about what they see in the clinic and going back to the lab is vital. And so I'd say the research in terms of, we know we're not going to keep people from getting sick until we have a vaccine. And we're not even sure that that will be 100% foolproof. So really the research into understanding how we can treat patients when they get sick and how we can shorten the time that they are in the hospital is really crucial.
That's Susan Slagenhaupt, the scientific director of the Mass General Research Institute and a professor of neurology at Harvard Medical School. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks.
Thank you.